Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we pray that you might soften our hearts to what you have to tell us in your scriptures. We pray that you will be able to remain us focused on what is important and look to respond to what we hear in a way that continues to glorify you in all that we do. Amen. Well, it's 2019 already, even if it doesn't feel like it. I know for the past week and a half at work, most of the things that I've had to date have an 8 at the end and then me scribbling over it and changing it to a 9. Still not used to the date. Just got used to writing 2018 and everything, and then now they've stuffed me up again. As the new year's begun, January 1, my social media accounts were full of everyone's new year's resolutions. So there's people saying that they're going to start a gym membership this year. There's people that they're going to look at how they spend their money. There's look at people, even like me, that say they're going to read a book that's been sitting on their shelf for a few months or even years, and they've still not got around to reading. But we've now got a couple of weeks into January, and like most of the things, most of them probably haven't continued. So over the past few weeks now, since the start of the year, we've been looking at John's Gospel. We jump back in here at chapter 12, where Jesus has come to the town of Lazarus, Mary and Martha lived. In chapter 12, Jesus is attending a dinner which was held in his honour after Lazarus was risen from death. Today we're going to look at the first half of the passage that was read, so verses 1 to 11. This entails an important event and two contrasting responses to what happens. We'll firstly look at the significant event that occurs. Jesus is attending a dinner at the house of Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. Now, something strange happens in verse 3. Look at it with me. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, I'm not sure about you, but if I'm invited over to someone's house for dinner and after I arrive they come up spraying me with cans of deodorant, I might take a bit of a different view on what's happening at the time. It's never happened to me and I'd be highly concerned if it did and might go home to have a shower before I actually stick around to eat dinner. And now, not only on top of this, not only the fact that the perfume was poured over his feet, but the fragrance of the perfume now filled the house. When I go around to a dinner party, it's usually a nice appetizing smell to have of the meal being cooked itself. Now, I know when I'm trying to usually eat, I probably don't want perfume up my nose and just being able to smell that. Usually, you appreciate the smells that the meal being cooked actually makes. Well, in saying that, I do say as long as you've not left something on high for too long, I usually don't like that burnt smoky smell or the smoke that starts coming with that. Usually try and steer clear of that one. Now, obviously our culture is a bit different nowadays, and a similar act such as spraying someone with a deodorant can or even wiping their feet with their hair would be seen as very strange and make everyone at the table probably feel very uncomfortable. However, in Jesus' day, this was seen as a great way to honour him. Anointing him with the perfume was seen as a great appreciation for the act that Jesus had done. In raising Lazarus back from the death, it brought great joy to their family. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone brought back to death a family member for me, I'm still not sure how I would react to that, and in fact, how thankful I could express that to the other people around me, let alone who did it. So, in showing her appreciation for what Jesus had done, when Mary anoints Jesus with the perfume costing over a year's worth of wages, it raises an important issue. Judas points this out in the next verse. So, looking at Judas's response to the situation, it appears to be grounded not only in his own selfish desires, but also in a worldly view, mainly focusing on the monetary value of the action. Now, we're told in verse 4 that Judas objected to Mary doing this. Continuing on in verse 5, he asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" This half a litre of perfume was worth a year's wages. In today's value, someone has just poured out this bottle of perfume, about yay big, that's worth over $35,000, minimum. Surely it's a good question to ask how that money should have been better spent than lying on the floor in a puddle. Why wasn't it given to the poor? Could do a lot, be a significant amount of aid. It could provide basic living requirements such as food or shelter to a lot of people. Although, in the passage, we're told that Judas actually just says this due to his own selfish desires. Verse 6, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So yes, he would have much preferred the perfume be sold and the money put in there, because then it would have actually lined his pockets as well. However, I still think it's an important question to ask. Why wasn't the money given to the poor? This isn't just something that happened historically in Jesus' day, but now, why should we be spending money on furthering gospel ministry, such as the fireworks at carols, the new grass out there in the yard, or various renovations or different things that we've done to the buildings, just to name a few? Well, in order to understand this, we should look at how Jesus responds to Judas's comment. So what does Jesus think in relation to this? Does he consider it a waste of money? Well, apparently not. Jesus does not agree with Judas in his reaction to this. Verse 7, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. So yeah, very against it. Now, not only does verse 7 respond the way Judas reacted to the situation, but there is also reference to Jesus here predicting his impending death. Look at this with me, starting back at the start of verse 7. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So how does this show that Jesus is predicting his death? Well, verse 8, Jesus knows he is going to die. "You always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." It raised questions about priorities in life and what they should be focusing on. Judas was clearly caught up in the moment, only concerned about his financial gain here and now. But does verse 7 show that even Jesus wasn't sure about Mary's timing in doing this? Jesus stated before that it should be saved for the day of his burial. Now, at this point in time, he's very much alive and moving and definitely not being buried yet. So, however, I think it shows a difference with the world's view on timing and God's. Timing is an interesting issue. However, it looks like Jesus isn't talking out physical 24-hour day and nights here. He's merely referencing a day as a period of time, like in the phrase present day. This again points to Jesus predicting his impending death in verse 8. As the perfume was intended for the day of his burial, we know by reading further in John that it is a lot closer to the people surrounding than Jesus realized. His death will happen soon enough. Now, after looking at this today, if you are not a Christian, I challenge you to think about how you make decisions and how you view events in life. Without looking to the cross in these times, we may miss important things, or just even to struggle understand why something's happening. Don't live your life trying to find significance and happiness here on earth without the good news of Jesus and his resurrection. Otherwise, although things might seem to be going well at the time, and it might look you are succeeding, you might have more money than the person next to you, you might be on TV more times, you might look successful in the worldly sense, but there will come a time when you will be judged. In those times, the money won't matter, the fame won't matter. Those that have their faith and trust in Jesus and look to the cross, they will have something that is a lot better and more value than anything here on earth. They will have eternal life. So today as we stand here, the beginning of a new year, rethinking the various resolutions that we've made and probably failed already, we are 13 days in, we need to identify what's important to us. How do we view what happens in life? What job choices to make? Where to buy a house? How to spend my time? Or even, how do I spend my money? What do I spend my money on? We must look to Christ. If we don't, what happens? We don't want to be caught up in the here and now of events of our lives. We need to view things that happen in our lives in the context of the cross and when Jesus' death and resurrection means. For me, over the years, this has meant different things. It's meant that there's parties that I haven't been to, sports I've stopped playing, events that I've missed, family's birthdays that I've just not been at. But I look in the context of what's actually important here. I make Bible study, church, and youth ministry a priority in my life. We should be looking to live our lives focusing on serving Jesus, whatever that might look like. So yes, spilling a year's worth of perfume on Jesus' feet might seem like a colossal waste of money, and the accountant in me is still concerned. But earthly things such as money have no significance in the long run. It could have been worth $1 million, although, yeah, that just hurts my brain even more. We should look to how to glorify Jesus, to put our faith and trust in him always. This is what's more important. Here, as we turn to the last couple of verses in this section, verses 9 to 11, you look at how the crowd respond to Jesus, and also it gives us important things to consider in the context of our own lives as we make important decisions and the following consequences that they can have. Consider the people in these verses. Here, they look like they're getting very excited. They're all for Jesus. They're seeing the signs that he's performing. They're following him. They're getting caught up in the here and now. They're thinking, yes, he's cool. Let's follow him around. But they fail to see what is happening, and it will catch up to them. So as we look around people here, we might see people with more money than us, with more fame. But it comes a point where that's not going to matter anymore. In here, the people, they're all supportive of Jesus. When he's strong, raising people from death, he's attracting large crowds and they're just following every word that he's saying. But they all look very supportive of him. However, as we'll look at the rest of John in the next couple of weeks and later on in the year, when things get difficult and he doesn't look strong in a worldly sense, they'll all turn away. The same people who are following him and hanging around him now and saying that they follow him will be the same people who later yell, "Crucify him." They didn't see the events in the lead up in light of the cross. Some events in life only make sense when viewed in light of the cross, while some others may take on a completely different meaning if not looked at in light of the cross. So please pray with me in light of what we've looked at today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you at the start of a new year. We pray that we might live our lives to glorify you in all that we do. Please help us to look at things that happen in our lives in light of the cross. Help us to ensure that in the decisions that we make relating to any aspect of our lives, such as how we spend our time or money, is thought about very carefully. We pray for wisdom in making these decisions, and we look to live our lives following you in all that we do. Amen.